It is altogether fitting and proper that we begin this morning with a big, big thank you to all of you who made that funeral service so, so fulfilling last Sunday afternoon. We're dealing with an entirely different culture, and the people who gathered, many people who gathered, made it very obvious that we were dealing with two different cultures. And Harry and Janet sang a duet, very, very fitting. By the way, that was requested by the family. And I asked them to have a great deal of input in the service, and they're a very biblical couple. You know, I mean, the doctor and his sister, that's what I mean by couple, because he was never married. And my brother here did a great, great job with the music. And the whole service turned out, I thought, to be a very, very rich and rewarding service. And what an amazing thing. It was really, really good and fitting, and we thank everybody involved. Now this morning, it's going to become very obvious to you that I don't even pretend to have a textual sermon. It's not going to be a textual, it's going to be a topical sermon. And that will become very evident as we begin. We turn in our Bible to two passages. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, and then we go on from there. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He came, "What then are you?" But confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophets?" And John answered them, "I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Our second passage comes to us from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And behold, he was seated on the throne, and behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have his inheritance and will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, it is really great to be a Christian. And we thank you, and we want to reflect this morning how wonderful it is that you have called us from darkness to light. And we see the many, many blessings that come forth from that wonderful revelation and calling, the compelling of God to become one of his followers. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is entitled Blessing Upon Blessing, but it could also have one word only, and that is gratitude. Or it could spring from the first verse of the Westminster Confession. Blessing upon blessing. The Book of Lamentations says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. All of us here are of the Calvinistic tradition. And one of the great impacts of John Calvin in Christianity is that John Calvin brought with him a life and world view. What did he mean by that? He meant by that, when you become a Christian, it has an impact on all of life. A-L-L. Let's begin by making this very practical. Think of all of your life that has been impacted because you became a Christian. Have you ever sat with your wife and looked her in the eye and say, honey, can you imagine how different our lives would be if we never came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior? Have you ever sympathized with people who do not know Christ, and the husband and the wife become tremendous competitors of each other? The selfish lives that they have become competition. I insist on my thing. No, I insist on my thing. And it deteriorates from that point on. Think also of the use of time. Since you became a Christian, have you ever thought to yourself how absolutely different my life would be if I did not see myself as using my time to glorify God? And then think of all the selfishness that you have, which is inherent in you being who you are. And then Christ came into your life, and you came to know of a grace that is greater than all your sin. Coming back to marriage, all of us need to apologize from time to time. And how much we appreciate it when we have a spouse who forgives, who loves us in spite of some of the stupid things that we have done or the selfishness that we have been living. Think today. Today is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day set aside for worship, reflection, and sharing the goodness of God in our lives. Can any of us begin to imagine how enriched our lives are today? Because we have come to the house of God where the infallible word is proclaimed, and we come to know better and better the author of that word. How can I get across to you what I'm trying to say this morning? Well, I think the image of an artesian well. I remember when I was a boy, maybe less than 10 years old, my dad and mom would go visit a relative from time to time. And along a certain road, there was an artesian well. And that artesian well was just bubbling with pure, wonderful water. And the cars would line up for a given distance. They would come with their jugs. They would fill them to have wonderful water. Because in that part of the Midwest, the drinking water was very, very filled with minerals. There's a great deal of iron in the water. The water was so bad that when the agricultural department came and tested it, they found out that animals would gain much more weight in a 30-day period if they could have that artesian well water than that mineral water. Milk cows would give so much more milk if they could drink that pure water instead of that artesian, that water that did not come from the artesian well. Think of your life, how God is calling us to be blessed and in turn be a blessing, and how that enriches our lives. You see, Christianity, I believe, is like an artesian well. Let us take a little time now this morning just to reflect. I'm trying to be a pastor this morning. Just reflect with your wife and your family how blessed you are that you are a Christian. And one of the unique things about Christianity is that we are made in the very image and likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1 makes that very clear, that he did not make various plant life or animal life in the image of God, but we are created in the image of God. And as we think about that and we study other religions in various parts of the world, we see that God had prepared a garden in which there was all kinds of good fruit, good for them. Where in some of the other religions, they literally take food and present it to their idols to feed the idols. Totally different concept. We are created in the very image of God, and what does that mean? When we become Christians, we enjoy, we discipline ourselves to try to reflect God-like values, God-like quality of life, God-like lifestyle. Remember when evolution was really a big thing in our schools? And remember when evolution was presented as gospel fact? Charles Darwin said it was a theory, but it was presented as gospel fact. That we human beings are the result of some infinite lower form, and we have developed over an extended long period of time to what we are today, and we are in the process of evolving into something much greater. Aren't you glad that you are created in the image of God? And that you can come to know God and reflect on God and know that you are unique. And God even called upon Adam, did he not? To name, give names to all the birds and fish and animals. We are created to have fellowship with God. And as a pastor, I have met people again and again in the hospital who could almost reach out and say, through this difficult time in the hospital, the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, was almost closer to me than my right hand or my left hand or that glass of water on the tray. The Lord has been in my life giving me blessing upon blessing. Another wag said this, "The road I've traveled hasn't been easy. I never would have made it without God in my life." Blessing upon blessing. Think of how blessed all of us are, not only this morning in the house of worship, but every day of the week. To live in the light of the knowledge of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Think of another blessing. Because we are created in the image of God, life has value. We are protected, nurtured, and valued. And when you study the Judeo-Christian tradition versus the paganism in which the Judeo-Christian religion took root, you see the tremendous differences. My wife and I visited the Colosseum in Rome. What a grand structure built by slave labor. But that's not what I saw. I saw the barbaric of putting people in there to kill each other in battle. And then people given a spear or a sword to defend themselves against wild animals. Why? For entertainment purposes. No value of life whatever. Royalty. The upper echelons of society. Watching a man fight against a wild animal. Barbaric. Think of Christianity. When I was in Russia, the average woman would have 5 abortions in her lifetime. Very little value was placed upon marriage. And in our society, I have observed as a pastor again and again and again the skill of medical doctors watching over a mother, taking great, great care so that that little one to be born would be fine. Think also in our society of how, because of Christianity, women are valued. What do we say to each other We are going to love, honor, esteem, protect each other as husband and wife. You are of great value to me. I am of great value to you. We are together. Think of the societies historically in which little children, if they were born deformed, were just cast on the side of the road. Think of little babies that are abandoned. Within the last 24 hours, they found three little children on the border between Mexico. They had been abandoned all by themselves. Think of the society in which a father viewed his immediate family as subhuman. My wife and I did an interim pastorate in Nebraska. She and I remember very clearly the exact home where it was located. We made our first visit. The father had passed away, the husband had passed away, here was the lady. And casually we said to them, "Well, what did you do?" "Well, we became missionaries in Mexico." "Oh, tell us about it." She said, "Do you want to hear?" She said, "We worked in a very lonely area of Mexico where little girls who had been molested and became pregnant were cast out of their house literally because it was their fault that they became pregnant. And many of them died." And she said, "My husband and I went to Mexico and we provided a place for these little girls, 15, 16, 17 years old, who had been cast out by their families." Think of the deliberate savagery of euthanasia and ethnic cleansing, which is going on right at this moment in some parts of the world. And here we are as Christians. Because we are Christians, it's not because our nature is so inherently good. It is because God in his infinite mercy called us unto himself that our value system is totally, totally different. Christianity is like an artesian well that bubbles over and impacts every area of our lives. That artesian well is so satisfying, so pure, so impacting, because as Paul says in Philippians, we know him and the power of his resurrection. We are not conformed to all of the ill that is going on this morning in the drug cartel, but our lives have been transformed. Think of Saul on the way to Damascus. We know what his agenda was. Then I think of a person like C.S. Lewis. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Very, very unique. And he became this great apologist for Christianity. Rabbi Zacharias, born in India, he considered himself an atheist. and he attempted suicide at the age of 17. And there in the hospital, God compelled him to become a Christian. An artesian well. Our lives have been completely changed. Knowing your heart and knowing my heart is kind of scary, is it not? To think what me may have been if the Lord of mercy and grace by his Holy Spirit had not changed our lives. I imagine we all have different interpretations of what happened to Mr. Hamlin, the defensive back of the Buffalo Bills. But he is very verbal about gratitude for the prayers that have been offered on his behalf. He gives every indication that he has experienced this overflowing artesian well of the mercy and blessing of God, because I know he grew up in a ghetto area. But being in a ghetto area or not, we are all on the way to hell unless the artesian well of God's mercy overflows in our lives. What does the Bible say? Delight yourself in the Lord. You go from this house of worship this morning and you're going to delight yourself in the world, in the Lord. And because of that, you know that salvation and Christianity is not something to hoard for yourself, but to verbally share with others. No, you're not going to save anybody. Only God is. But you may be the instrument that God uses to have an impact on another person. Sinclair Ferguson says, enjoying God means relishing the salvation that he gave us in Jesus Christ. What does he mean by that? Just sitting back and enjoying. Sitting in awe of the artesian well of God's overwhelming blessings. Not to complain, not to be down in the mouth, but to say, Lord, I really don't know how to thank you for the way you have changed my life. And why am I so blessed that I grew up in a Christian home? Or if I didn't grow up in a Christian home, why am I so blessed that I have come to know the joy of following you just because you are so great and merciful? One author has said, Christian bashing is a popular sport today. We have to be so careful in the words we use when we are in society, because it's immediately taken as being some form of white racism against, say, the Native American Indian, whoever that group may be. But Jesus says, just let your light shine. Be like an artesian well that floods the area around with refreshing water. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think, for example, of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are engraved in bronze in the National Archives of the United States. And yet, at the same time, We who have this very rich Christian heritage have all kinds of people in our country that would like to completely cleanse society of any semblance of the Ten Commandments. But what do? We as Christians are like an overflowing well who pursue more and more a close relationship with Jesus. We sing praises to our God and glorify Him verbally. We thank God by the lifestyle we live. We trust God because we live for Him. And we treat others with dignity. None of us do this perfectly. But compared to what goes on in the wild, is much different. Our daughter in San Francisco did postgraduate work there. And one of her roommates was a sociology major. And she shared with our daughter on a number of occasions what goes on with the homeless in San Francisco. It is, I can assure you, barbaric. There is no other word for it. What's so much fun about that kind of a lifestyle that rejects Jesus? And then think of another great blessing of our society. And that is that we have representative government. Our whole country seems to be in trial right now. But we Christians say, righteousness exalts a nation. Remember, the United States is a theistic nation, not an atheistic nation. Our foundation is Christian, not atheist. In 1776, when the Declaration of Independence came forth, 90% of the people in the colonies were Protestant. 50 of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence were Christians. And today, there are those in our country that don't want to have this overflowing artesian well give the pure water. They try to make us think that that iron-filled chemical water is better, and they really believe it. But you see, my friends, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look at our lives, individually and corporately. We saw a miracle of that last Sunday afternoon. People of many different backgrounds coming together in corporate worship and really enjoyed it. You see, Christianity does have some amazing benefits when we just let the water flow. Think of the influence of Christianity on slavery and the whole slavery issue. I'm coming back to John Calvin, a world and life view. We are unique. Freedom of religion, political freedom. If I criticize a politician or a party or whatever it be, I might vanish in other countries, and they do, but not in the United States. I will never forget that image I saw from the fourth floor of my motel, a huge hole in the ground, and there were Jewish people, one woman pregnant, another person with his musical instruments, another dressed as a rabbi, all going to their death in the Holocaust. The freedom of the press and the freedom of speech, the freedom of trial by jury. Charles Colson was a prisoner, and after his miraculous conversion by Christ, he said of the ALCU, "The ALCU has no corner on liberties. The greatest civil libertarian of all times was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ." So this morning, I'm asking all of us, what is my task? Number one, be an apologist for Christ. And do your very best to prepare yourself never to compromise the truth of the Word of God. Never. Be prepared to fight the secular conarchists in every way who would lead all of us into a country that is controlled by people with a totalitarian mindset. And know that the love of God, the crucified and risen Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit always wins. All we need to do is read our Bible. It is the slain Lamb of God, the crucified Lamb of God who shed his blood, who is the winner. And then a little frosting on the cake. When we die, it's not the end, but it's the beginning. What did our passage in the book of Revelation say this morning? It said this: the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. There is no preacher that can take a murderer and an evil person and preach them into heaven at their funeral. I don't even try. I don't even try. Because I am not the judge, God is. But the Bible is very clear. If you are a Christian, you will be an artesian well that flows over into all areas and time and values around you. But if you are a person who calls Christians deplorable and really means it, how are you possibly fulfilling the words of Scripture that says, glorify Christ in everything you do, by day or by night? My wife is going to have a minor surgery tomorrow. And what a joy it was for me to visit that doctor. Black as coal. I hope that's not a white racist statement. I just smiled. I could have given her a hug. She is an absolute committed Christian. And I said to the nurse, "Where does this doctor come from?" "Well," she says, "I think from royalty in Nigeria." And remember in a sermon some time ago, I told you the story of Nigeria Johanna Veenstra. The strong-minded daughter of a Christian Reformed minister in Paterson, New Jersey, went to Nigeria as their first missionary. And she tells in her book of the unsanitary conditions and the mice and rats walking in her tent. And there she tells the story of black people with tears rolling down their eyes. And she said, I couldn't understand a word of what they said to me. But the Holy Spirit used her as an artesian well. And Johanna Veenstra died at the age of 39. But at that time, Christianity had been planted, and at one time in Nigeria, almost 50% of the country was Christian. I don't know what it is today. And here my wife and I go and visit that doctor right here in Fresno. Delightful lady. And here it is. She's a committed Christian. Her life is like an artesian well that overflows. Now, beloved, I know that many of you are having an impact on people too. All of you. We talked about the Good News Clubs this morning. It's an artesian well. We don't know when it's going to take root or how. But we are light and salt and water to the thirsty. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so glad that we have come to know you. And we want to, Lord, by word and by deed, share with others that you have made a difference and that we are delighted to be called a Christian, whatever the cost. For we know that the way of the cross always leads to the Father's house and to Christ, the Lord of glory. May we now celebrate as we receive from the table of our Lord. Amen.